Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
.101 on a Saturday on Live and Local on 610 Sports Radio. Dusty Likens here, Nick Price, the producer. First hour in the books. Hopefully many hours to go. Tiger Woods tees off at 105. Royals lineup is out. Merrifield at second. Mondesi at short. Alex Gordon in left. Soler in right. O'Hearn at first. Dozier at third. Duda as the DH. Maldonado as catcher. Owings in center field. And Homer Bailey as starting pitcher. One more time in the Denny Matthews voice.
Whit Merrifield at second. Mauro Mondesi at short. Alex Gordon playing left field. Jorge Soler in right. Ryan O'Hearn at first. Dozier at third base. Lucas Duda playing DH, Maldonado catching, and Chris Owings, your favorite player, playing center field, all behind Homer Bailey.
You're welcome. That game will be at 6:10 right here on 610 Sports Radio. Pregame starting at 4:30, but before that, which is right after us, is Chris Unicero, Jillian Carroll, Julio Sanchez, which is overtime. That crew's been together for quite some time, so the chemistry's there. All you got to do is listen and have fun with them. But it was Wednesday when they did kind of the press day for the golfers at the Masters. And normally I've got to see about a round or two from Tiger to kind of get a feel. Like I was talking to Ron Hughley from 10 to 2 with Show and Vern. We had a good conversation yesterday and I was talking to Ron about this. And I said, are you watching Tiger? And it was right after the shot that we just talked about. And he said, oh yeah. He goes, I just need to get to 5 under. That's what we both agreed upon. That was the number. I need to get to 5 under going into moving day, which is today on Saturday. And I told him, you know what? I knew that Tiger was going to be all in because of what we heard on Wednesday.
Tiger, do you feel like you need to win here again? Or do you just want to win here again?
Well, I don't really need to win again. I really want to.
So, like, with that confidence of Tiger and, like, his most nerdy possible way to, like, bring in confidence, like, that's how it was with Tiger Woods. Like, I don't really need to win this tournament, but I'd like to win this tournament. That's just who Tiger Woods is. And when he came out with that, that's when I was all in. Now, when it comes to Tiger Woods and this tournament, he's at 6 under. He's 1 off the lead. Molinari's at 7 under. Jason Day's at 7 under. There's a couple other people that are at 7 under as well, but they don't matter because Tiger Woods is the only one that matters. So does Phil Mickelson, because Phil's just weird and he looks like he's killed somebody or he owes somebody lots and lots and lots of money. But the thing that took everybody by storm right away was that Tiger Woods was chewing gum. And everybody said, well, I've never seen Tiger Woods chew gum before on the course. I've seen... I forget who it was. I think it was like Cabrera when he was at the Masters. He was puffing down cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
John Daly was always known to take a stroke penalty for having cigarettes. John Daly kind of sucks. I'm not really a big John Daly guy. Like, I get it. You can pipe the ball. You wear weird pants. You drink Diet Coke, whatever. But it turns out that also Phil Mickelson was chewing gum too, because, of course, Phil Mickelson is the heel to Tiger Woods' babyface, to give you a WWE reference. Hashtag Kofi Mania. And explained by Phil Mickelson of why that he's chewing gum, which would make sense to why Tiger Woods is chewing gum. He says, according to the New York Times, also this quote from a doctor, Joe Parent, who helps players with their mental part of the game, said, think about what you do under pressure. The doctor said, you get stressed and tense. You clench your jaw. When you're chewing gum, you can't keep your jaw clenched. You're opening and closing. You're releasing that tension that could calm you down. So there's why Tiger Woods, I would assume, is chewing gum. That might not be why Phil Mickelson's chewing gum, but that might be why Tiger Woods is chewing gum. Last year, Tiger Woods had a few instances where he surprised many of us. Last year, he stayed out through the entire tour, played in all 4 majors, and we remember a couple of them. I remember speaking of Ron Hughley still, he went to the U.S. Open that was in St. Louis, and he said it was insane. The crowd sizes, the pops that Tiger got, I mean, it's crazy, the roars that Tiger gets. You all know about the roars that Tiger gets. Tiger Woods is also wearing mock turtlenecks.
Yeah.
Which, you know now, every guy that you go play with at Loch Lloyd or at Drum Farm or at Adams Point or at Blue Springs Country Club or Swope, somebody's going to be wearing that turtleneck because they think that since they wear that T-shirt turtleneck, they're going to play a little bit better. Nah, man, you're still going to shoot 100.
Mine's already in the mail.
Really? You're going to get one?
Sure.
I mean, that's fine. Didn't you say you bought a Tiger Woods hat thinking that it would help you elevate your game?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that it was just all about kind of like the swag and the confidence.
But to bring in all seriousness to a Tiger Woods topic that could be so funny, it's time to get serious with Tiger Woods, because no athlete has ever dominated their sport like Tiger Woods has.
No.
Like, golf is such a act of randomness. Different guys can stroke it better than other guys on a four-day period, which that'll be a drop somewhere. Different guys have different methods of how they get ready for tournaments. Different guys play better on different parts of grass. Tiger Woods just always played great. When he won the Masters in 97, it was insane how much he won it by. Tiger Woods gets everybody going when it comes to golf every single time. Tiger Woods is just that type of player. That's just who Tiger Woods is. And like everybody always says, Tiger Woods needs golf, but golf needs Tiger Woods a little bit more. I will not leave my couch Sunday or the rest of today when I get back home in Lee Summit, Missouri. I will sit there and I will watch. By the way, Dustin Johnson is now teeing off. Look at how tight those pants are. It's insane. John Rahm, eat your heart out. There is no way. I mean, I'm serious, man. The comfortability that he plays with, and I mean, it's insane. I got to get off Dustin Johnson for a second. But anyways, with Tiger Woods and the way that he's played in this Masters so far, he is now one shot off the lead. He's going into Saturday where he has won this tournament four times. Oh, by the way, the toughest part of this tournament are the greens, but it's been raining, it's soft, and it's a little bit easier to play golf at the Masters this weekend, which is ironic in itself to say. But Tiger Woods does something for this sport that is crazy that no one else has ever done, nor I think will ever do. Michael Jordan played basketball, but there were other athletes within that sport that were just as electrifying to watch during certain times. Now, Michael Jordan could jump out of a gym. Michael Jordan could do whatever he wanted. He started his own shoe brand. He got everything going that way. Think about Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods wears red. Now Ricky Fowler wears orange because it's his alma mater. By the way, Tiger wears reds because of Stanford. Tiger Woods wears mock turtlenecks and makes him look sexy. Tiger Woods chews gum. Phil Mickelson chews gum. Tiger Woods is the reason why there's all these young, sensational players playing golf today. Now, granted, there's been athletes that have done that before where athletes have played basketball because of Michael, or athletes play basketball because of LeBron, or they play football because of these people. Tiger Woods is somebody that everybody looks up to because he's that damn good. And he's been that damn good. Tiger Woods has had a roller coaster of a career. He was on top of the world. He was at the bottom of the world. And now he's trying to trend back up there. And
like, everybody loves a comeback story.
Everybody does. And everybody likes what they see when Tiger wins, because you just have to look at the crowd size. It's not a fake news crowd size like the President of the United States will say that was bigger than theirs. Tiger Woods legitimately at one point today, several times today and tomorrow, if he's still there, if he doesn't hit a double cross and like bogeys a couple holes in a row and falls out, you will see an aerated shot of what his crowd is, and they're going to be with him for 18 holes and 4.5 to 5 hours of golf.
I mean, remember the PGA Championship last year, walking up to the final green and that shot of everybody just following right behind
Tiger? Insane.
Just a flood, an ocean of people coming up the fairway behind him.
And it's insane because if you watch him and Rory, like Rory at one point was supposed to be the next Tiger. He's not even close.
Mm-mm.
Like this tournament to start, it might have been, can Rory complete the career Grand Slam? Now to add a storyline to it, now you've got Tiger Woods paired with Ian Poulter on moving day. And we all know that Ian Poulter, maybe not all of us know, but Ian Poulter was the one that originally set up Tiger and Elon Woods, or formerly Elon Woods. And when the news came out that she had attacked Tiger with a wedge or a iron of some sort, Ian Poulter had some sarcastic comment that said, well, she should have used the driver, which he doesn't speak like that, but that's just how I feel. Like, I just don't like Ian Poulter. And Ian Poulter had some harsh things to say about Tiger. Now Tiger has a chance to show Ian Poulter, welcome to my field. You get to have these crowds. And that's why back in the day, it was so crazy when the Tiger Storm would come, because you saw it Thursday. You saw it Friday. And when it hit you, you didn't know what was hitting you. And that's the way fans react.
Not to mention, too, that other golfers on the course, when they hear the roars from Tiger's group,
insane.
It gets in their head.
No matter what. And people then, after you hear that roar, you then look at the board and you see, oh, WOODS has moved up from fourth to third. Oh, wait, I'm in second. Not for long, you're not.
Nope, Tiger's coming.
And as much as you want to say the red is an intimidating factor and that's why he wears it, it's not. He wears it because of Stanford, his alum. But red is such a great color in that circumstance that sometimes the script flips.
Yeah, it's become more than just the Stanford red. It's the Sunday Tiger red.
And Tiger will have, if Tiger can be three shots off the lead, if he has the lead, I don't need to say this, but if he's just three shots off the lead going into Masters Sunday, CBS's ratings will be insane. Every person that is into anything will have probably the most lethargic Sunday they've ever had in a long time, because you will get Masters, you will get NBA playoffs, you will get Game of Thrones, all of this in a Sunday. Oh, and then the Royals play at 1:15. So if you're really into sports, you can go from Royals and Masters, basketball, Game of Thrones, and Tiger Woods will keep you on golf, because you will want to be there when Tiger Woods wins that next major, because then if he wins that, then we get back into the Jack conversation. Then we get into, okay, now we might be able to reach it.
That's when everybody, all the Tiger haters out there that are like, all right, let me wait until he wins a major to say that Tiger is back. Tiger's officially back if he wins the Masters. I mean, no question about it.
Tiger had his own Gatorade. Tiger was sponsored by Nike, Gillette, Buick, Gatorade, many, 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 many other things. Now he's out there hammering a Buick rock or a Bridgestone rock that they literally changed for him. Tiger Woods, give it to us. We all want it. We're tired of people taking shots at you and only calling you Eldrick. By the way, Phil Mickelson's mugshot's on TV right now. If you're watching the Golf Network, tell me that guy didn't murder somebody and got away with it. Some jobs, I believe, aren't for everybody. That's right. You're the promo right before we get in here. Monday mornings, 5 a.m. No sleep on Sunday. Show starts at 8. It's going to be over about 9:05, as we'll give you all the episode run times coming up on that show.
Mm-hmm.
Probably get to bed about 9:30. I'm going to try to get to bed by 9:30. I'll try to amp myself down from what I'm about to witness, because I haven't seen Game of Thrones in over a year and a half.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep, though. My adrenaline's going to be flowing.
You know they did a porn parody of Game of Thrones? It's called Game of Bones.
Oh, nice.
It's pretty interesting.
You check it out.
I have not seen it yet. 69306
Dusty
is the text
line.
Dusty
will tweet out the link later.
I won't. That's also a very, what do you say, towing the line context there?
Yeah.
So, the NFL draft coming up. Show and Vern and Serta, they're all going to Nashville. That's pretty interesting. And for the caller that called in, thank you so much. I apologize. I got so involved in Tiger Woods. Jesper Parnevik was the one that got into it with Tiger Woods and the one introduced him and said all those comments. Not Ian Poulter. I still don't like Ian Poulter. I just don't trust guys with really small mouths. Like Justin Rose is one of those guys. Love Justin Rose, just don't trust him.
Just can't trust him.
I also don't trust guys that have first name, last name, same name. Like if you have like a first name, like if your name is like
Steve Stevenson?
No, like Nick Doug.
Oh, like Ricky Bobby.
Right. If you have two first names for a full name, I just don't trust you.
No,
you might
that's,
be a cool dude.
Sketchy,
I'm just not going to trust you.
It's a little sketchy.
I got a good friend of mine. His name's Matt Bryan.
Yeah, that's...
Love the guy. Great friend of mine. Don't know if I could trust him on an island by myself. Feel like there's something fishy going on there.
Fair enough.
So this week was pretty interesting in the NBA as the playoffs start today. You can also catch some of that action as the Oklahoma City Thunder on 1660 The Score, our sister station, former home of... Up and Adam with yours truly and Nick Price. Now we are here at Out of Bounds on Live and Local on 610 Sports Radio. We follow BK, which is on the leadoff. And then what precedes us is overtime with Chris Unicero, Julian Carroll, and Julio Sanchez. But Magic Johnson, man, that was weird. And Woj had some crazy Twitter stuff to go with it. But Magic Johnson pulled an impromptu press conference to tell everybody he was stepping down. And we cut some highlights from it.
Today, I'm going to step down as the president. And I think I don't want to
her and I have such an amazing relationship. And I think that she gave me full power to do what I wanted to do. But I think that I had more fun when I was able to be the big brother and ambassador to everybody. You know, I thought about Dwayne Wade retiring tomorrow, and I can't even tweet it out or can't be there.
So, like, with that cut, that's literally Magic Johnson stepping down as a president before their last game of the season, impromptu style, doesn't want to tell the Buss family face-to-face. And, I mean, Woj went in on Magic Johnson. And it's pretty crazy that a guy like Magic Johnson, who has a lot going for him, he's got a lot going on, pulls an impromptu press conference to stop everything that's going on. Adrian Wojnarowski says Lakers coaching staff also fully expected to be fired in hours after the final game of the season. They had believed that they were gone for months. Now, Magic quits in public saying he's too scared to tell Mrs. Buss face-to-face. What an embarrassing episode for an historic franchise. This is a franchise that I guess would say that there was a lot of questions going into the season because of LeBron James taking over that franchise as like the most prolific player in NBA history. I'll die on that hill. I don't mind. And Bob, I'll get to you in a second. I just want to wrap up this NBA segment real quick, and we'll go right to you after that to get you in on your Tiger intimidation factor. So I see you, buddy. Stay on the line. You're the first caller ever on Out of Bounds.
Congratulations.
So you got that, Bob. You better hold on the line, Bob. Damn it. Because you got some shoes to fill that nobody else has yet. But Magic Johnson steps down in a way that you wouldn't think that Magic Johnson would step down, or maybe it is a way that you would think that a guy in his position would do it. Now, he throws some excuses out. He's mad he missed D-Wade's final game, where D-Wade had a triple-double, and LeBron was there, and CP3 was there, and Dwayne Wade got the greatest introduction from his son, who mimicked his old routine and then said, "My dad, great, you're not crying. I'm not crying, you're crying."
Yeah.
Right? And Magic Johnson's got a lot on his plate. But he says the part of the process is he basically misses the interaction he has via, like, Twitter because he can't tweet. He misses the fact that he doesn't have player engagement. He says in that clip that we didn't really hear all that of, but we picked parts of it that were important. Tiger Woods, pars, hole one. He's even for the day, still at minus six, on to number two. This is going to come until the end of my show. Our show, sorry.
Thank you.
The end of our show, because Tiger Woods, I'm hoping at some point we'll have to steal a line from one Ron Hughley, my pants off. Oh, by the way, Sweeney Todd, the new name I'm calling Phil Mickelson, 2 under today. He's now tied at 6 under with Tiger Woods.
Let's go.
Let's have a chewing gum battle.
Yeah.
And then let's have Terry Francona in the background doing it too. I think he does that because he mixes it with chewing tobacco. I've got a source that tells me that. I don't know for a fact.
Pretty sure all baseball players do.
Royals Cleveland, 6:15. 6:10 today on 610 Sports Radio. But the thing about Magic Johnson that really has me concerned is the fact that, like, a guy in his position who's got a lot of people that look up to him, he kind of contradicts his statement, right? He misses getting together with people. He misses the interaction. That may be. You've got to think about that before you take this type of job. It's the damn Lakers. You wanted LeBron. You got LeBron. Now, I know LeBron might not be the easiest guy to work with, but he's the best damn basketball player that we've ever seen. Again, I'll admit, I'll die on that hill. I don't care. I'm not here to tell myself that I'm like Nick Wright or that I'm like Carrington Harrison or that I'm like guys that watch basketball a lot more than I do, but LeBron James is the best basketball player I've ever seen and that we've all ever seen. And he got him to L.A. And everybody was like, well, let's see what happens. Like, everybody was kind of shy because L.A. people were Kobe guys. LeBron is definitely past Kobe, and people don't want to admit that. And now you have Magic Johnson, who is a very, very high-octane personality. He's got a very prolific career in what he's done. And now all of a sudden you have Magic Johnson, who steps down from the franchise because he just basically admits he just didn't like it. Must be nice. I mean, you're running what they call the Lake Show. And the way you do it in a fashion of an impromptu shutdown that you no longer want to do it anymore because of what you miss? I mean, come on, Magic. So in an NBA season where a lot of people will say, man, Kansas City's going to talk basketball. It's not local, but it's entertaining because it's entertaining in a way that it should be entertaining to you. You don't have to watch the games that you say, well, they don't play defense, even though the offense is better. Now you get this entire soap opera that is LA That is Magic Johnson stepping down. That is Magic Johnson telling these things that he misses. That it's Magic Johnson that he can no longer be a part of this team because of what he wants to do and what he can't do. And the fact that he didn't tell the owners, who he's basically a son of, family member of, because they love him so much because of his history with the Lakers. And now he steps down. And now, of course, we all saw it coming. Luke Walton's losing the job. And now, all of a sudden, the entire coaching staff is being wiped out of the L.A. system. Which, you say, Dusty, pump the brakes. Normally, when a new guy takes over, that normally happens. I get it. Makes sense. But to piggyback what's also on the NBA, you have the playoffs that start today. And I know it's hard for people to get involved in the NBA because there's not a local team. And that's kind of the narrative of these shows on Saturdays, to stay as local as possible. But when sports stories are too big, you've got to talk about them. And for those of you that don't follow the NBA, but you might be that person, because there's a lot of those fans that say, I'll watch the NBA when the playoffs start, because it's basically half a year anyway.
Right.
You've got some good matchups. You've got Dame Dalla, Trailblazers, Oklahoma City Thunder, that you can hear on 1660 The Score, our sister station. You can hear that game. And Dame Lillard and Oklahoma City's guard, Russell Westbrook, have a history. A
lot of bad blood.
And, I mean, it is bad blood. They're both very, very good at their craft in smack talk and b-ball. You've got the Warriors and the Clippers. You got the Battle of California.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the best team in the last 10 years that we've ever seen, maybe ever. And then you've got the team that's better than the Lakers in L.A., which is another story. Tony Finau, -7, now tied for the lead. He's the guy that rolled his ankle last year in the Masters and then still
popped
played.
Popped it back in.
Ugh, gross. You've got Rockets Jazz. Quinn Snyder alert. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Beard, Quinn Snyder, I'm all in. And Pacers Celtics is also another one. Like a Lannister for Game of Thrones, I'm a man that pays his debts. Bob and KC, let's hear what you got to say about the PGA Tour.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for having me on, and I hope I can do a good job. I am a former PGA Tour caddy from the late 70s.
Nice.
And everything you've said about Tiger is absolutely true. And I don't know if we'll ever see another, not just necessarily a golfer, but any athlete who is so dominant. And the one thing that he has is the same thing back then that Nicklaus had. When you teed off, and if you were, I don't know, one or two down, I remember in 77 in Lauderhill at the Jackie Gleason tournament, I was caddying for Don Pooley. It was his rookie year, my rookie year as a caddy, and we were only two behind, and he was right behind us. And the same thing happened. The crowd goes crazy. You knew that Nicklaus had just birdied a hole, and here we are, this rookie. He tightened up, and I don't know what we shot, 78 that day, but from second place to 72nd place. And it's just that intimidating. And I'm sure the same is true for the players that know, oh, there's Tiger. He's one away. He's two away. To be real honest, I never really cared for Tiger's demeanor and kind of arrogant and all. But in a sense, so was Jack. He said very little to anyone, did not give autographs. He just walked by and did his thing. And as to Tiger ever winning 18 tournaments, it's possible. He is only 43 years old, and Nicklaus won in 86 when he was 46, I believe. So it is possible. As far as the field goes, you've got Mickelson and Day, and you've got a lot of good players. But you had a lot of good players then, too. You had Palmer and Trevino, and Trevino was the best. The way you see him on TV is the way he is. You don't know if he's ahead by two or behind by two. He would give autographs on the 17th hole, take pictures. I think that's what calmed Lee down, but absolutely the best. Probably my biggest regret was that we were not allowed to caddy at the Masters. It was only Masters caddies. I don't know when that changed where you could bring your own, but, excuse me, That was one tournament that I wished I could have gone to, but we just couldn't go. And it was probably one of the highlights of my life being out there and watching someone so dominant, so mentally tough, just like Tiger is, and watching everyone else scramble and try to act like they're not scared. You're going, oh, man, you're scared. You can see it. You can see it from any player that tried to catch Jack. Another interesting thing about him, not only did he win 18 major tournaments, no one has finished second more than Nicklaus, and no one was more gracious in defeat. And he learned that from his father. I'm from Columbus, Ohio, as is Jack, and I caddied for his father when I was a little boy. And his father was just a tremendous man who was quiet and taught him the gentlemanly, that's golf. It's a gentleman's game. I don't care how good you are or how bad you are. There are rules. There is certain things you do, certain things you don't do. And you learn that as a caddy. I've learned when I was 10 years old. And very, very fortunate to have had that chance to go out there. Another one we forget is Tom Watson, our own Tom Watson.
Oh, yeah.
What a champion. What a great guy. What a great ambassador and a darn good player. I think he won the British Open like 6 times. So it's a great sport. I do regret that there can't be a little bit more of the what it was like 40 and 50 years ago. Today, you know, people yelling, get in the hole the minute he hits it. And you go, come on, man, that's not golf.
Right.
But that's part of what the world is like in the year 2019. So anyway.
Bob, I have a question for you real quick, and I'll let you go. I appreciate the phone call, but I have a question for you. Have you ever seen a golfer rock as tight as pants as Dustin Johnson?
No, probably not. You know, back in our day, there was a player, you may or may not remember, his name was Gabe Brewer, and he would wear lime green shoes and green pants, and that was his gig. He just dressed that way. You know, this is interesting, too, when you go back and you watch old tournaments from Kerry Middlecoff and all these guys, you had 3 to 4 sponsors of golf equipment, and that was Wilson. There was McGregor, which was Ben Crenshaw, Tom Weisskopf, Jack Nicklaus, just a handful, and very, very few things on your shirt. You didn't get paid for any of that. You got paid to win a tournament. And tell me, in the year 1977, what was the top prize to win?
I don't know. I was born 10 years later.
Okay. The top prize would have been the Westchester Golf Classic at $50,000. Any other tournament was 40. Second place is 28. Place around 20, and then it went down to whoever the last 80. You'd get maybe, I don't know, $600. And so that's the biggest thing, that it goes from 40,000 40 years ago to what, six? I mean, who knows what the winner will get tomorrow. Will it be 4 million, 3 million? It's incredible, but a great game that anyone can play at any age, tall, short, white, black, you name it, anyone can play. And it's always going to be that way, that a person can have fun, play by the rules, don't improve your lie. Unless you're just learning, that's fine. Count all the strokes. Don't cheat.
And, all right, Bob, I got to let you go, man. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for that. I appreciate everything you got. Bob, hope you can still listen on these shows. I appreciate the phone call. We got to get to a break. Bob went a little longer than I thought he'd go, but he was in a groove.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand this text line from the 785. Hi, I'm Dusty. I'm going to praise a douche, lore, and serial cheater like Tiger, but call a nice, handicapped, charitable guy like Phil as a person, and then you should try to take me seriously.
That is a tough sentence to try to configure.
That's what it is. I'll tell you what. I once asked people what would happen first, a World Series for the Royals or a Super Bowl for the Chiefs. Everybody said Chiefs Super Bowl. That's not how it happened. Now we've got something else to kind of bring up to the people. Man, I just don't get it. You don't take Phil for the kind of guy he is from the 816. They got our back. Phil ain't the angel some people think. I'm surprised some people still think that. I mean, just look at his profile picture on the Masters. You know he's done something weird. Phil's just a weirdo. He's not the cleanest of clean. He's not the smoothest of smooth. He wears literally button-up, long-sleeve shirts to play golf in and has decided to try to do a little shimmy. So take that. Lots of things moving forward in the Masters as Tiger is even. CBS coverage starts at 2, but stay here. That's 3 o'clock until 4:30 today. We'll be out of bounds with Unicero. Not out of bounds. That'll be overtime. We are out of bounds. It'll be overtime with Chris Unicero, Jillian Carroll, and Julio Sanchez. Monday, Game of Thrones recap show, a show that has no name, with myself and Nick Price. Starting at 5 a.m., that'll lead you into Fesco in the Morning with Clean Fesco and Ryan. But I teased this topic because I said, what would happen first? When I was a kid, I used to always ask people questions. It's kind of been my fate, I guess. I still do it randomly. I asked that caller, Bob, if he's ever seen anybody rock a tighter pair of pants than Dustin Johnson. And he said, well, I can't say that I have.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy wore green shoes and green pants. Well, it ain't tight like DJ. But, I used to ask people, what would happen first? Chiefs Super Bowl, Royals World Series. What's going to happen? And one thing that they would always say is, of course, a Chiefs Super Bowl. Because the Royals were very average to below, very below average in the 90s. But nowadays, we have a different topic. And that is, as a KU fan, have you ever been terrified about your basketball program?
No, I've always felt very confident.
You're in a tough spot right now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Mr. KU alum, Delta Chi fraternity brothers, shout out DK bros.
Oh, yeah. DK till you die.
Nick Price.
I made that up right now.
That's fine. Nick Price is a guy that bleeds crimson and blue.
Yeah.
Like, that's your school. That's your alumni. So people can't call you a homer. It's just your school.
Yeah, I'm not going to come out here and spit homer takes. It's just like, I went to school there, so obviously I want to see the team do well.
My school has won a national championship before your school in basketball. Mm-hmm. Shout out UCM, Mules. Kim Anderson then went to Mizzou. That's all I'll say about that. Man, you remember those Motel 6 commercials? I'm Tombo Dad. We'll leave a light on for
mm-hmm.
you. That's who Kim Anderson sounded like. I interviewed him one time, and he was just very... Well, that's a really great question, and I'll leave the light on for you.
Did you make him say that?
No, but I should have.
You should have.
I hadn't gotten the werewolf mannerisms yet.
Yeah. Man.
Now, Ricky Fowler, he's 2 under today. He's now at -5. Tiger Woods pars the par 5 second. He is still at even. My pants, like Ron Hughley's, are still on. But KU basketball, man, it's not going smooth. For the last half of this last season, there were rumors that Bill was going to Chicago. We know that's not going to happen now.
Right.
There's rumors that maybe Bill was going to probably sell his house. We don't know if that's true or not. Is Bill going to leave? One thing we do know is a ton of players are leaving by choice.
Yeah. I mean, Quentin Grimes declared for the NBA draft. If you read his statement that he put out there, like, he's not coming back. Devon Dotson yesterday, he said that he's going to go test the waters. It sounds like, by what he was saying, that he just wants to go and kind of, like, gauge the kind of NBA interest, which is totally understandable. You should do that with the new rules. But with a guy who's as talented and just like, you know, you can tell that the potential is there. For KU fans, you got to be scared that maybe an NBA GM will fall in love with him and he gets some advice that says, don't go back to school. How about you come play in the G League or something like that? And then you got Dedrick Lawson leaving, which, I mean, it was going to be tough for him to repeat what he did this year. He had one of the best seasons of KU history. KJ Lawson transferred, Charlie Moore transferred, and now your team, if you're looking at it, KU fans, is Marcus Garrett, Mitch Lightfoot, Ochai Agbaji, and David McCormick. There's other guys on there, but those are like the only ones that actually contributed to this year's team that are on there, and they got two recruits coming in. I know that they're working on some other ones, but as far as I never thought that there would be a time ever since I went to KU. I am. I'm stressed out. You can hear it in my voice right now.
For sure.
But I never thought that there would be a time ever since, you know, growing up, watching KU basketball, watching KU football take that decline after the Orange Bowl. I never thought that there would be a time where I felt more, like, optimistic about where the football team was going than where the basketball team was going. And with all this Adidas stuff hanging over everybody's heads, too, that is what's so concerning about all these players leaving, is you just – you always, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, does it have something to do with these Adidas allegations? I don't know. I'm not in the loop when it comes to that stuff. It's all speculation, but it's something that you got to think about.
I just think that you're very devastated because you've never been dealt with this adversity before with this program.
No, I was in fourth grade the last time the KU lost the Big 12.
This is a squeaky clean program. It always has been. Bill's always slid under the radar.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, he's looking himself in the mirror like Michael Jackson in the 80s. Man in the mirror, and he's thinking, oof, maybe I'm done with this. Maybe he's a little bit more stressed out, so players think that, oh, this isn't the Bill that recruited me. And now all of a sudden KJ Lawson leaves. Now you're kind of wondering what's going on with that family. You don't think Doak's going to stick around, do you? I mean, he's going to...
I don't know. That could go either way, because there's the argument that if Doak comes back and gets hurt again, then NBA future is out the window. But also, he's only played one full season in college, and he was really good, but he's got to show a little bit of development as far as, like, making shots outside of 2 feet and making free throws and stuff. So right. I could see that going either way. But with the way that it's going now, I mean, if you lose Udoka Azubuike, then that lineup that I just read, that's your lineup, KU fans. I mean, outside of some freshmen that you'll bring in, doesn't exactly inspire confidence.
Mitch Lightfoot is a modern-day Eric Chenoweth.
Yeah.
He wishes. I think it's cute how Mitch Lightfoot always gets, like, a fresh cut before every game to kind of, like, fit in.
Yeah.
It's funny. He looks like the kid from Home Alone that always pees the bed. That's who Mitch Lightfoot reminds me of.
I can see that.
If you play bad, you're going to have to sleep in the hide-a-bed with Lightfoot as he chugs a Coke. That's what he looks like, Macaulay Culkin's little brother. So, yeah, KU basketball is not going in the right direction. KU football is going in the right direction, as we will revisit that later on. But like the text line tries to tell you, Nick, from the 816, Rick Ross playing the spring game and Les Miles is the coach. Hashtag football school. Let's pump the brakes.
We'll pump the brakes a little bit on that. But, I mean, it's starting to feel like that. Les has done a hell of a job getting people excited for KU football for the first time in over a decade.
How many games will you say KU football's team will win this next year?
I think that 5 to 6 would be a successful season.
5 to 6?
Yeah.
We'll get to a bet later on this year, right, as if hopefully this show progresses. I like this simple text from the 785. Texter can screw off. That's what text should be. Sometimes we get like paragraph texts,
yeah,
of just nonstop. Text line, E with a purpose text line from the Protein House. Protein House text line, E with a purpose text line.
Protein House, E with a purpose text line.
There you go. I'm doing that on purpose, by the way. You don't know it, but I do. And it's 69306. You'll have a chance later on. We'll open the phone lines again. I don't know if Bob's going to be around, because I don't know if he's going to give me another 7-minute response, which would be fine. I like Bob. He's the first caller. Bob's automatically.
Bob is always welcome on this show.
Bob is automatically in the banners of Out of Bounds.
Yeah. Like,
I want to have more banners in the Sprint Center.
When you look up the Wikipedia page on Out of Bounds, Bob will be on there.
Yes, he will, because he caddied for PGA golfers in the 70s.
Yeah.
And then he started to compare him and I as, like, the same age group. I would assume that Bob's probably roughly in his 60s. I'm only 31. So he was like, you know, back in 77. I'm like, well, sorry, Bob.
10 years before my time.
I like Bob. Bob's a good guy.
I like Bob, too.
Another thing from the text line, they're asking me, going back on the names, the first two first names for a name, Eddie George. Don't trust him. I mean, he was on the cover of Madden, and then his career went away. Great running back, but I wouldn't trust him as a person. I would give him the ball, but I just don't trust him. He's got his name, Eddie George. It's like having a name, Dave Jacob. Don't trust you.
Well, you got Dave Davis from the 816.
Dave Davis is a little differently. I've never met a guy whose first name is Davis. But that's neither nor here nor there. Tiger Woods, that's a name I trust. Still at 6 under. He's even par through 2 holes today. I used to produce a lot of Royals games. And one night, somebody texted in. They said, Dusty Likens, you should probably go with a different name. You should go with the Dirty Werewolf. That's not a name that I made up for myself. It makes sense because there was a movie called Rise of the Likens, which is a werewolf, which is what a Likens is. Dusty, synonym for Dusty, is Dirty. So Dirty Werewolf. I'll never let that go. It's a great name. I appreciate it from the text line. Jamal Charles. That's fair.
Yeah, that's another one.
But some nicknames don't hold up. Back in as we wrap up the second hour of Out of Bounds, and then we go till 3 o'clock, and then Unicero, Julian Carroll, and Julio Sanchez take over. Guys with first name, last names that you first name that you just can't trust. From the 816, this is tough. Carrington Harrison. I don't think I've ever met anyone with the name Carrington as their first name other than Carrington Harrison.
Yeah.
From the 660, George Brett. Oh, man. Like the guy.
Yeah.
Not sure I could trust him.
I don't know.
It's nothing against him. It's just his name.
No, it's just the names.
It is what it is. Royals today starting at 4:30 on the Cody Tapps pregame show. It's an hour long day because it's 610 Saturdays here on 610 Sports Radio. Lots of action today for the Royals as Chris Owings is still in center field and Bubba Starling is still hitting 300 in AAA. But no, rest assured, you officially have Dick Lovelady on this team. Now all I need for my season to be complete is to bring up that other bullpen arm who goes by the name of Scott Blewett.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm saying a bunch of names, yes, Lance, you can have a banner if we ever get banners. Listener number 15, that's right, I know who you are. LeBron James, is that a name? Is that two first names?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure there's only one LeBron, or I guess there's two. There's LeBron and Bronny Jr.
Yeah. I don't know. That's too close to call. Can't trust him. You just made the list. Others' names that we're talking about are nicknames that don't hold up. So if you have a nickname or you know somebody, text line, this is your time to text. Later on, it'll be your time to call as we'll do a segment, what you disliked with Likens or what is wrong when the price is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If you like something that Nick Price didn't say, if you didn't like his sappy, sad KU basketball, Cry Me in a River.
We should have played some sad violin.
Yeah, well, hopefully we have the sponsor for that music because we can't play any music except the ones that we have.
Mm-hmm.
A little inside the curtain there. But the thing about it is nicknames that don't hold up. Chris Davis, who just got his first gig or first hit for the Baltimore Orioles, and how many at-bats? Like 39, 40?
Well, 40, no, games. 47 set the record for consecutive at-bats without a hit. And so it's more than that. But I do have a tweet that's from the other day, from the 7th, so it's about a week old. But okay. He hadn't scored a run since September 18th of last year, had a hit since September 14th, home run since August 24th, a road home run since July 20th, or a batting average above 186 since October 1st of 2017, and the Orioles owe him $92 million.
Mm-mm. And by the way, that guy's nickname is Crush Davis.
Yeah, okay.
Holy smokes. The only thing he's crushing right now to stay radio able to say it is the bank account of the one Baltimore Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I wish I could play a cut from The Wire where Clay Davis says a certain word and he says it very, very long. I know you haven't seen The Wire, which is unfortunate.
I'll watch it someday.
Which I think it was you that told me earlier that it was Danny Parkins and Carrington Harrison that got you into sports radio, and I think they talked about The Wire all the time.
Yeah.
Which is interesting that you still hadn't watched it, so you need to start watching The Wire. You also lied to me and said that you were going to watch Heavyweights. You have not watched Heavyweights yet. You had not seen Home Alone 1 or 2 before we did the segment on Christmas.
I watched Home Alone that night.
You have officially pissed me off at watching movies. But you've seen Game of Thrones 1,500 times.
Yeah.
Nerd. Another name that doesn't hold up, Johnny Football. Now, if you haven't heard, Johnny Manziel wants to go by John Manziel.
You ever had a friend that did that? That no. Like they have one name and then they go to another name when they're older? Like they switch from like Jackson to John or like Robert to Bob? Because there's no Bobs that are like under the age of like 35, I would say.
I just find it weird that, like, you have to cut off the NY. Like, you're Johnny. You are a Johnny.
John Football.
Doesn't have a ring to it. Not only did he cut his name in half, he also is the reason the AAF no longer can pay people. Johnny Manziel signs up to play quarterback for the AAF 2 days later. The AAF is folded. Here comes the 30 for 30 in 3 years. But I don't know. I just thought it weird. If there's nicknames that don't hold up that I'm missing out on, like, Ken Griffey Jr. was called the Kid. You can't really call him the Kid anymore.
Can't be the Kid forever.
You can't. I mean, A-Rod, that holds up. Except now they call him A-Roid, which will always hold up. A-Rod is somebody who went to Twitter and hit snowballs with a baseball bat for recognition. And he gave Jennifer Lopez, a.k.a. Thanos, another stone to put in her hand. Did you see that meme on Twitter?
Yes, collecting all of them.
It said Jennifer Lopez is out here collecting more stones than Thanos, which is hilarious to me. I don't know why that is hilarious, but she's still Jenny from the block, and she's bad, baby. I mean, man, Jennifer Lopez. Woo! But some of the nicknames that don't hold up. He says on the text line he pinch hit yesterday to go 0 for 54. Well, he got a hit today. So Chris Crush Davis has a new hit streak of 1. He's one for his last one that he'll put on his resume. Somebody said, first name, last name you can't trust, Brandon Kiley. Strong. Like Brandon.
Yeah.
Don't know if I can trust him.
I don't know.
Michael Cole. That's another one.
Greg Norman.
Another one. First name. Any of those guys out there you don't trust, it's 2 o'clock. That means we've got an hour left on Out of Bounds. Thanks for sticking around this long. If nothing else, the Royals might just have their ace, and I like where it's going.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.